Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Sound Health Radio. This is Vocal Profiling Live. This is Heather, your host for the night. We are usually here with Sherry Edwards, but she has been awful busy lately, and we've decided that she needs a little break, maybe to catch up with some of her projects or just a little sleep, maybe. You just listened to What is Love, a 1993 one-hit wonder from a singer named Hathaway. Now, that may have been a one-hit wonder, but the question is an eternal one. What is love? Well, before we kick off, we have a couple of exciting announcements. We've got a full table here with us tonight. A couple of them, well, most of you have been with us, except for we've got two additions, and I'll introduce the two later here. Jessica Skinner is with us tonight.
Hello.
And she is going to be telling you all about class. A little bit about the class that's coming up.
Absolutely.
Okay. And I believe we might have some promotions going on as well.
We might be able to do that.
Okay. And we've got Nikki here with us. Hi, Nikki.
Hi.
Welcome back. We've got Sheila.
Hello.
And then we've got a new addition over here. We've got Stacy.
Hi.
And our brave male for the evening. Welcome, Steve. You know, after the last couple of weeks in our roundtable discussions, we got so many calls and emails about our panel and our topics, we decided to bring them all back. 2 weeks ago, our topic was weight discrimination, and last week it was relationships. Talk about a couple of really hot topics. We've had some active discussions on that in and around the office. And we're back to discuss a little bit more about that. Okay, but first, a little bit about what's going on here at the office. Nikki, can you tell the folks a little bit about our weight loss project? What's going on if they want to be involved with that?
Heather, I'm down to 22 pounds. I've lost 22 pounds so far.
That's
great.
We're
finishing up some of our databases, and pretty soon we'll be able to take a voice print and pop it in our program and know exactly why someone can't lose weight and make the proper adjustments so that they can.
Wow. And how does one get started with that?
They just email me at Nikki, N-I-C-K-I, at vocalprofiling.com. I have a file of volunteers, and we're not turning anybody down at this point.
Really? Really? So we've had success with that. You are the living proof.
Yes.
So how are you feeling lately?
I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. I've got a lot of energy, and my pants are starting to fall off.
What I say to you early in the day.
Yeah, we already know why some clothes that fit you, Nikki.
Yeah. This is a good reason to go shopping.
Yes, it's a wonderful reason.
Good.
So it's working out really well, and we really want to get people involved and help them.
Now, what's involved with this? If somebody wants to have a vocal print done, how do they go about doing that?
They just email me. That's first contact. And when we're ready to start taking samples, we'll let everybody know how to get us a sample, and then we'll just go through the process. We're working on the protocol right now, too. We haven't had all the kinks figured out, but we're getting that done.
That's really interesting. So are you taking supplements? Is that what you're doing? Or
at this point right now, I'm taking supplements, and I listen to a few frequencies. If anybody comes to our expo next month in Columbus, they'll see our Jessica with
rock hard abs by then.
Yeah, we've given her the frequency to work out her abs. All she has to do is listen to the tones and 6-pack in a week.
I'm going for an 8-pack.
Okay.
That's really interesting. So how does Sherry come about these frequencies with the abs?
I think it's a lot of trial and error.
Yeah.
A lot of the stuff, like with the little back box, for instance, was a lot of trial and error. See how the muscle reacts to each frequency, and then it kind of go from there. So.
That's great. So do you listen to this with headphones, or how does that work?
I'm going to listen to this with headphones probably 2-3 times a day, maybe 10 minutes at a time. So
instant abs.
Instant. I love it, yeah. I mean, much easier than having to sit down and do the sit-ups and everything.
You're not doing any kind of exercise to get these abs?
No. I'm off all exercising while I'm doing this, so the only thing I'm going to do is sound. And I'm going to continue all my regular eating habits and everything. So we'll see how this works out in the end.
That's great.
Yeah. Right. Pretty exciting, so.
I know. I've taken your picture, last Friday?
Yeah.
Before and after.
Yes.
And we are going to be, as Nikki said, at the expo in Columbus called the Universal Light Expo the weekend of October 13th and 14th. That is at Veterans Memorial Hall in Columbus, Ohio. That's a Saturday and a Sunday. The hours are 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. and Sunday 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. We will have a booth there, and if you're taking notes, it's going to be booth 613. Come and say hi. You can meet all of us that you hear every week here on Vocal Profiling Live. And Sherry's going to be giving both a speech and a workshop on Saturday. So make sure you come in and say hi. We may even have some specials for class, or you may want to get your vocal profiling done. Meet Sherry in person. She'd love to meet you.
Can they get a special deal if they say they heard us on BBS?
I believe so.
Let's set that up. I think we should do that. That's a great idea. I think that we already have a possibility of having a small special for those that are attending. But maybe if you come to the booth and mention BBS Radio, we could offer the exact same deal for that, or maybe...
Let's give them an extra special.
A little extra special deal.
Yeah, because our BBS listeners are special, are they not?
Yeah.
Tell you what, let me think about that. We'll see what we can come up with.
Okay. Well, you're thinking about that. Now, last night on our other show on Sound Health Radio, you mentioned another deal we've got going on.
I'm assuming you're talking about the Level 2 deal.
Yeah, you noticed that I make you tell this story.
Okay. We normally offer our practitioner training, which is a 5-day session. We normally offer it for $4,400, which is really quite a deal when you consider all the amount of information that you obtain. Last night on our show, I offered it to the one caller from that particular show at half price. And I guess you're going to do it to me again, and I'll offer it again.
I got two deals out of that. Unfortunately, our bookkeeper is giving me a dirty look right now.
one person, I swear, and that's it.
The first one to call
mentioned this Monday night show. Of course, if you're listening to it Monday and you didn't hear it Sunday, you might get lucky, and you can probably convince us that you were the first caller from Sunday.
Yeah, you've got to hurry on this deal, because I've never known Jessica to offer a deal like this before.
I don't really care to, honestly.
So it's a one-time shot, so make sure you get us an email or a phone call. We can be reached at 740-698-9119. And if any of you want to give us a call and talk to us live on the air, you can call toll-free at 877-270-8714. In USA and Canada, toll free 888-228-4494. I'll repeat that later on as we go on. But if you're interested in any of our projects, any of our classes, if you want to sign up for a free demo, Jessica, when's our next demo class?
October 1st is our next demo class, and this is when we go over the Invoice Personality Program. It's about a 2-hour session. We either had Sherry or one of her trainers teach the course. Really easy to hop on. You just have to have a high-speed internet connection.
Easy.
That's great.
Yeah,
easy and totally worth the time.
Yeah. Now, we were talking about the Invoice program. Nikki, can you explain to our audience a little bit more about what Invoice does and what vocal profiling is all about?
Invoice is a personality profile. It's a fun program. You take a minute and a half to 2-minute voice sample, and if you've listened to the show before, you've probably heard Sherry explain it. We can tell a lot from the personality profile. And if you are interested in the program, it's 6 clicks of a button and you have a printed report that tells you a little bit about yourself and what's going on. And there's a lot of things you can evaluate. If you buy the program, there's a 1-hour class to help you interpret a little bit. Of course, you can just read the report and know everything, but you can go a little bit deeper and interpret the program, and there's a 2-hour class after that you can attend. It's a money maker. If you buy the program, we charge $55 here at Sound Health to do the program for people, and they're always satisfied, and they come back for more. And usually if you do one voice print and print out the program, they want another one. They say, well, let me talk about this. Let me talk about that. So you usually end up doing several of them.
You know, what Nikki and I discussed, because we actually were teaching a class today that had to do with the Invoice program, and even though it's for entertainment purposes, it seems also like you can learn a lot about physical aspects about yourself, emotional aspects. There was a time where Sherry actually did three different voice prints on myself to try to decide on if moving to a particular area was really what I should be doing or if I should stay where I am. And that's pretty interesting. It was a good lesson, I guess, to myself because I didn't really know how I felt about it, but the voice prints and my invoice reports told me. So it's pretty interesting. Not just entertainment, you know. It helps kind of give you a direction. So yeah. Very interesting.
So what's the protocol for somebody who wants an invoice report? How do they get one for themselves?
Nikki at Vocal Profiling or Heather at Vocal Profiling. Either one would work. Stacy, also S-T-A-C-Y. Either any one of us, and we can set it up for you. The program's really interesting, and people usually doubt it at first, but they get their printout, and it describes them perfectly, and they're like, ugh. And we often say, give it to your husband or your wife and see if they feel it's accurate, and they're always like, yeah, you're just like that. So it's funny to watch.
It can tell compatibility between people in relationships.
Yes, say someone does a voice print and they are missing the note of E, and their partner does a voice print and they have a lot of E. You can tell that the one with no E is going to be drawn to the person who has a lot of it. There's a lot of things you can tell from the invoice program. You can get really in-depth with it. And it's really interesting, and some people don't like it because they don't want to hear the truth about themselves.
Really?
Sometimes it lets them know things that they didn't even know.
Now, have you learned something about yourself from your own vocal
friend? Well, I know myself very well. I learn about something new about myself every time I do it. I don't do it a lot anymore, but just because I don't have time. But, yeah, every time you do it, you learn something different. Every time you talk about a different topic, you learn something different.
What's the most surprising thing you've learned about yourself?
Well, was there a situation with your relationship where yourself and the one you were with, you guys were compatible because of a particular note or something like that?
Yeah.
What was that exactly?
That was the note of D, but me and two of my children are full of the note of D, and he doesn't have any D. So that's why
he feels drawn to you because you fulfill something he doesn't have.
Yeah.
What is that note of D? Do you know what the
note of D is?
What it means?
Little red hen.
A little red
means,
hen.
Yeah. That means that I do what others ask of me, and when I want something from them, they don't necessarily want to give it to me, but if I complete something and they want part of it, I'll say, here, I'll share.
You're a giver.
Yeah.
A giver, yeah.
So,
I think we know her well enough to determine
that's
that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't want so much D. Let's get rid of a little bit of it.
They know.
Yeah.
Well, interesting. So, let's get back to this, what is love? So, tell me, everyone on the panel, what is love? Can anybody offer an opinion on that?
Love.
I want to know if there's any updates from the last show. I know we heard about everybody's relationship status at that time.
True. Has anything changed?
I found Sheila's situation pretty interesting.
Oh,
Sheila, what's going on with you, girl?
Thanks. Well, we took a little break, I think, last Monday is what we were talking about. And
you and your significant other.
Yeah, is that what you want to...
Is he significant at this point?
Another, right?
Another.
I have to not think. Things are going okay. We were making some changes, and we hung out for the weekend, and had a nice weekend for the most part. And we're just kind of taking it slow, and he's trying to do some more things with his life that are more positive, and I'm supporting him in those and trying to not be so defensive and so critical of all of it and trying to support him without being negative. So
getting a sense that's kind of hard for you to do.
It's very hard for me to do because he has given me so many reasons to not trust and doubt him. But I don't know. There's still part of me that knows that he's a good man and that he's very capable of doing positive things.
So do you think if you let him go and let him do what he wants to do, is he going to become a better person because you let him go, or is he going to become...
I believe that people come in and out of our lives for reasons. So if he goes to school or which is in Virginia, and it works with us, that's fine. I mean, I would love that to happen. If he goes and finds something else that makes him happy, that's okay too. We've been friends a long time. We've known each other a very long time, since we were 13. So wherever he's going to succeed, I guess, and be happy, it's not in this community. It's not a good place for him to succeed.
What will happen with you at that point? Are you willing to pack up and go for this? Is there enough
baby
love
steps,
for
man,
him?
Baby steps. Yeah, I do love him a lot.
Yeah.
But I would have to see him succeed at the school, at that point, get a job. He would have to have some stability before I would ever
You want
take
him
my
to do the work
up.
As opposed to you doing the work for him.
Yeah, I mean, I own a home here. I'm pretty stable here. But at the same time, if I see that he is making a stable life on his own and I feel like I could trust that environment, I would be willing to move out of this place in about a second.
I heard trust, and that's what we ended on last week was trust. That's what we wanted more than anything, honesty and trust.
Instability. I mean,
yeah,
I know my big
was
thing,
one that came up.
My
yeah.
big thing was knowing that I have a home, I have vehicles, I have worked very hard to have what I have.
Yeah.
And I want, you know, I put myself through college. I want somebody who also has these things. I don't need them to give me those things, but I want to know that that there's an equal there.
I understand. Yeah. So is love a compromise? Is love a sacrifice? Is that love?
When she was talking about she wanted him to be happy, whether it was with her or not, now that is love.
And I do, because I think that, you know what, maybe his life's bad now, and we've all had boyfriends, we've all had different relationships. People come in and out of our lives for a reason. Maybe he just needed me to get through a really bad part of his life. And I was at support. Maybe it's time for him to move on. Maybe it's time for me to move on. We'll be
How do you know, though? How do you know when it's time to move on? How do you know when it's time to do anything?
You don't think your gut tells you?
Your gut. We don't listen to our gut. That's the problem. Most of us don't. We fight it off. I fight it off.
I do, too. I have talked myself out of so many relationships before in the past.
Well, that's the wall. That's that light switch. I'm like, oh, nope, turn it off.
Yeah. Nice guy, I'm walking the other way. Steve.
We need a male perspective
yeah,
over here.
Come on. Steve was on our show last night for our computer stuff.
Our tech support.
He's our tech guy, so maybe he has a different perspective.
Yes. What was that again?
What do you think love is?
Do you have a girlfriend, Steve?
Not at the moment. I'm kind of seeing my ex-fiance, but...
Ooh.
How's that going?
Very slowly.
So what do you think love is?
A chemical imbalance.
I like that. Chemical imbalance, that's interesting.
So define chemical imbalance. Is it the feelings you have? Is it the emotions you go through?
Yeah, it's no different than being on a drug. I mean, it's really not the same experience, just in a different manner.
Chocolate
and
get
it.
So
how do you know when you're done, Steve?
I get bored easily, so.
So do you think your partner's there to entertain you?
I think we're there to entertain each other.
Okay.
I don't, you know, if she becomes boring, then I become bored.
And then what happens?
Then we get in fights and it falls apart.
But don't you feel you'll always have a connection with her?
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt. I mean, I was with her for 2 years. Engaged to her, I will always have a connection no matter what. I care about her no matter what. There's no hatred.
See, I think that's kind of what I see love as. You know, you still care about the person even if you know that you can't be together. You know, I mean, you know that you have differences that you shouldn't be together. You still love the person, and then, of course, you fall in love with the person, which is completely different. I never used to understand that. Now I kind of understand the difference between falling and actually being in love, you know?
Do you believe in love at first sight?
No.
Yeah.
Stacey,
you do.
You do. Have you ever been in love at first sight?
Yeah. With your husband?
Really?
I've said it from the start. Yeah.
How did that make you feel? How did you know? I mean, was there something that just clicked in your head, or?
I didn't go out with the guy I was supposed to. I would not.
So you dumped another guy to go out with your husband?
Wow.
Yeah. That night when he asked me out.
Interesting. And you've been married for how long now?
Over 9 years.
9 years. 9 years. And how's those 9 years turned out for you?
They're good.
Good?
I think the biggest thing is something that we're lacking now is communication. Something that we had in the beginning, we don't have now. Or he's comfortable now, but I still like what we were when we were first together. And I think that's a big thing a lot of people, after you've been together.
I think,
how
yeah.
How many kids do you have? I mean, you guys have a lot of busyness.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that don't we tend to kind of forget about each other?
You forget about
focus
each other.
On our kids. I mean,
yeah, because that's one of our arguments, is I want to go back. Why don't we still have that connection like we did when we first were together?
I think that's awful hard to...
Or don't you still love me like you used to? I love you more. Well, that don't make sense to me. Why aren't you spending time with me?
I think it's phases of love. I think it's like lust and attraction, and then you have some type of bonding that keeps you together. Because that lust is not going to stick around forever. Do you guys agree?
It seems like some people have it. What happens with the relationships that are like 60 years down the line? I mean,
you think they're still lusting after each other?
I don't know. I've seen some older couples holding hands, and I swear to God, they are meant to be. They have found their soulmates, and I always strive for that. I don't think all of us will find that, but some people are lucky.
Do you believe in soulmates?
Absolutely, I do. I do.
Do you believe you can have more than one soulmate?
Ouch. No, I think God makes one for each one.
I wish it were much easier to find them.
But that's the point.
Much easier to find.
Do you really find that?
I don't know. I know some people who their partners have passed and they found someone else, and it's a different love, but it's just as intense.
That's true.
It's kind of like having children. They say, like, once you have your first child, you know, that, like, you think the second one won't be the same. But then I've always heard that no matter what, you still have that, like, same amount of love for every one of your children.
You
it's
a
just a different
love.
Item.
I was afraid of that myself after my first one. And
I don't see how I could love anyone as much as I love my daughter, you know.
But you hold that baby in it.
Once you see that baby,
there.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Do you think men feel the same way about children, having children?
No.
I don't think they're capable. I don't think they're honestly capable. Of it. I think how some people are able to think on one level and some people think on another. Men and women just think on completely different levels, and I don't think men ever will have that complete
even
connection.
Even if that man, that father is there from the birth, from the get-go.
They do not carry the child for 9 months. They do not get that bond, that experience. A child, like, as soon as they're born, they know exactly where their mother is, you know? Like, they immediately are attached to you because they've already been attached to you for 9 months. You can't break that bond.
Now, what if you're a woman and you adopt a baby? Are you saying that that's a different love?
Oh,
that would be a tough one. Yeah,
ouch.
I'd say that's a different one.
What do you say, Steve?
I don't have any kids. I really can't relate, and I don't plan on having any, so.
So you don't think you could love and adopt a child as much as...
I think I could. I don't think that in the end, once they became older, I think there would always be that question. So I think, unfortunately, I don't think that there would be the exact type of love. No, not the type of connection. I think you would grow attached, and I think you would love them like no other, but I don't know. It just seems like it just couldn't be there, you know? I just can't see how.
Having worked in the adoption field.
That's what I was going to say. Sheila, you have...
I finalized... 9 adoptions my first year of an adoption worker, and we had some adoptive parents come back as the child got older, that had developed severe issues similar to their biological parent, and actually wanted to put the kids back into county care or foster care.
You're saying the sick children, the parents wanted to put
the adoptive parents have said, we can't handle these issues. We don't want this adopted child anymore. But I also finalized adoptions where there were already 8 kids in the family and they wanted 4 more, and it's amazing. And I don't think that this mother, this particular family, loved her 5 adopted kids any less than she loved her biological children.
Really?
I think it really depends on the parents and what they're willing to work for. It, depending on how you adopt your child, makes a huge difference, whether it's private adoption, whether it's through a county agency, it makes a difference because this, the issues of that child are going to be different as that child develops. So it's
so
going to be very different.
Just like there's some parents, birth parents, that don't bond with their children. I mean, there's birth parents.
That is
true.
There are mothers that I can't imagine how they can just look at their child and not have that love. I don't know why. I don't know how in the world it just happens that way.
And then there's the kids that grow up with attachment disorders that never learn how to have a loving relationship.
Yeah, that's really sad. I know a lot of women who've had postpartum depression, and they've gotten over it eventually, but that initial bonding never happened, and that, you know, it's going to come back in one way, shape, or form. So.
Hello,
do we have a caller?
Yes, you have a caller. Is that Heather?
Hi, this is Jeff.
Yeah, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. A little bit of a cold, though. The guy came back on the phone and said, sounds like we have some static, but it was me coughing.
well, I hope you feel better. So, Jeff,
yeah,
the question
okay.
of the night is, what is love?
Oh, my goodness. Well,
so,
I had to switch computers because the other computer I was on was just, it sounded like you guys were underwater or in a washing machine or something, and so I had to switch to another computer, so I kind of missed the beginning of the show, but I just was hearing you talking about children.
Yeah, and different types of love.
Yeah.
And so what's your opinion from a male perspective? Can you define love?
Well, once upon a time, I heard a pretty good definition, I thought, as far as love in relationships is concerned, it was defined as getting used to one another. You know, people come into relationships with expectations and stuff that has been programmed into them from their upbringing, from their parents, from their peers and their school experience and so forth. And frankly, I think that a lot of that is pretty sick. You know, and then, of course, we have all the stuff that we get exposed to as far as advertising. And then, of course, there are soap operas and movies and television sitcoms and what have you, and everybody's expressing some different aspect of it. But when it comes down to love, you know, I don't think any of us really learn how. Eric Fromm wrote an interesting book called The Art of Loving. And really, it was, I think the gist of it is that if you can love yourself and be comfortable with yourself, be satisfied with your own existence, then you're in a position where you can welcome someone else into your life. And the biggest problem that people face currently is that people aren't prepared to love themselves to begin with.
Oh.
So they have all kinds of expectations about how other people are going to be and how they're going to fit into their lives. And then, of course, the control issue comes in, too, because if you don't fit the mold that I have made up in my mind, then I'm going to do everything I can to make you fit that mold, and that's deadly.
I agree.
So we get used to one another. You know, I don't think, you know, we get infatuated. You know, our heart beats fast and all of that. But real love comes from spending a lot of time with each other and you know, working out a relationship. And you know, there probably is no one answer to it.
I agree. You bring up a good point. If you're not in a good place yourself, if you're not comfortable with who you are, can you have a healthy relationship with anybody else? I think a lot
right.
of people don't realize that they depend on others to make them happy, and you can't do that. I think the one and only thing you have in your life that you know for sure is that you're only going to have yourself. So, I mean, do you guys agree or disagree that you need to have a strong foundation other avenues.
I agree, but I think it's unrealistic because all of us, it feels good to be with somebody, So how do you find yourself when you're compromising with somebody else? That's what I want to know, because I've been searching for myself for 5 years, and as long as I have that other connection, which feels good at the time, I'll never completely figure out what it is that I'm about. So I think, I hear a lot of women, they get lost in their relationships, and then they end a relationship, and they're like, who am I?
Well, that's when you take time off and stuff. I lived at the beach, and I made myself a promise. I was like, you know what, I'm not really going to date anybody. I'm going to focus on work and finding out what I want and who I want to be. I was there for 2 years, maybe went out with a couple friends, but just friends. And then I came back here. I knew what I wanted to do for school, and I started that. I didn't really date anybody when I initially was starting school. And I figured out what I wanted to do, and I followed that. There were some bumps along the way, but at that point, I knew I was kind of what I was looking for. And I think we always compromise that along the way. But as long as you know you're okay in your own skin, I think that it makes it easier. Because then if that relationship doesn't work, you know you're going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've been there already.
You know how I figured out who I was? I got divorced. And that's kind of sad to say, but we were young when we got together. And my life was all about him and our relationship. And I finally figured out, you know, I didn't want my life to be all about him. I wanted to find out who I was. And once I was by myself, you know, just me and my children, I learned who I was. So, Nikki, how are you doing? Actually, you look a lot better, a lot happier this week.
Yeah.
Give us an update on what's going on with you.
I got so absorbed with who he was that I had no idea. And my mantra for a long time was, my value does not depend on his love. My worth is not dependent on how much he loves me. And I said that consistently for at least 6 months to finally hold my head up and realize that I had to take care of me, be strong for me. And it took something drastic for that to happen. And I was healthy, I think, when I started the relationship. I think I was pretty healthy.
Mm-hmm.
I had been on my own for a little while, and I felt pretty strong at the time. But within the relationship, the more I gave up of myself, the more unhappy I became. I totally agree with Jackie. But then you also got to make sure that you're not sacrificing yourself for someone else.
I think we're kind of making relationships sound like they're not very good things to be in.
Well, I agree with what Nikki just said, though.
How long have you been married, Jeff?
Which time? No, actually, my wife and I, we got married twice, and we just celebrated 21 years together. Not the entire time married, but 21 years.
I'm curious
and
about
so,
that one.
So,
yeah, let's have a bit of background on
see,
that,
I can't even, we got married on Valentine's Day one time. And then we got married another time, so I don't know exactly how long they've been.
Were you divorced?
Let me throw in some. I heard you guys the other day, and let me throw in something that you were talking about your personal relationships and how in some cases they've been stressful, I guess you'd say, to
uh-huh.
the point of divorce.
Mm-hmm.
A crazy idea that occurred to me a long time ago. And I've tested on a few people, and some people acknowledge that they think it's crazy too. But I've thought that it's a good idea for guys to find ladies who already have children, because my experience has been that when a woman has a child, she changes in such a fundamental way that I'm not going to say it's unpredictable. Because there may be a fundamental way that you all change, but it's unpredictable from the point of view of a man. Because you know, until that first child is born, a relationship will be happening in a certain way, and when the child is born, because the woman's close bond with the child, I think this can be a really alienating experience for a man if he isn't ready for it. And I don't know how you get ready for it. You know, they don't teach it in school.
Is that what happened to you, Jeff? Is that why you had You were married twice to the same woman?
No, well, married twice to the same woman, but with her for all that, for the whole time.
Wow.
Right? I was married previously, too. And I think that was at least partially a factor in why my first wife and I were divorced. I mean, other than the international incident that occurred when we were together that, you know, that makes Iraq pale in comparison. Not really, by the way. But,
now you've got us all wondering what international incident was that,
Warren.
Well, it's a long story, but, you know, what it came down to was, really, frankly, what it came down to was that not only were we better off apart, but our children were better off with us being apart because the way we carried on, I think, was very destructive to the experience of the two children that were the result of that relationship. And I think that staying together for the sake of the children is not a good idea.
I agree with that. I totally agree with that.
Especially if it's a really damaging relationship, because children suffer their parents' relationships if they aren't fun to be with.
Yeah. Speaking from personal experience, I grew up, I was 16 when my parents divorced, and when they finally split, I was so glad of it. For one thing, I was finally in a calm environment where, you know, I could think. So I don't know if any of you guys have been in a childhood home where there was divorce, but...
My mom was divorced four times.
Four times? Really, Stacey?
Whoa.
How did that...
Oh, no, she's been married. She didn't divorce his mom.
So she's been with him. I forgot.
So what was your childhood like with that...
Crazy.
Really? Did that kind of damage you as an adult?
Yes. Because after my first divorce, I went through counseling, and they blamed it on...
Your childhood.
Having problems to commit to a relationship and who I'm looking for. I was looking for, like, what I grew up in, which was not a good, stable thing. So then I was keeping that going. It just wasn't good. That's why I got divorced. It wasn't good for my kids to do the arguing and the silliness. And then I just kind of stopped and thought, do I want my kids growing up the same way I did, or do I want to make it better? And then that's when I decided to get my first divorce.
Wow. Do you guys have any other stories from your childhood that you think has imprinted you as an adult?
I was pretty happy when my parents got divorced. I don't think at the time I was, but as an adult, you know, I could look back and say, man, I'm glad they got divorced. And they got married twice. I was like, shoot, didn't work the first time. Why would you do it the second time? But,
yeah.
But I was glad, and I'm, you know, the relationship wasn't loving. They were screaming, yelling, and so it made it healthier for me.
Now, Sheila, you were in a relationship where you said there was no fighting, but yet you still got divorced.
And I talked about that last Monday. Yeah, my ex-husband and I don't think we ever had a fight, really. But there was no passion. You know, there was no intimacy, there was no passion. He still today is probably my best friend. We get along great. And that's the American way. People stay together because that's the American way. Stay together for kids, doesn't matter. If you can live as roommates and make it work without the passion, people do it all the time.
You think that's the right way to do it, though?
No, because then your kids grow up thinking that that's what happiness is. And I didn't want my kids to grow up thinking that it was okay to be in a relationship without holding hands or being affectionate, you know.
Maybe there's some people out there who don't want to be affectionate.
Well, my ex-husband will tell you that I was very unaffectionate. And the guy that I'm dating now would be like, you're crazy. And I think it just depends on who you're with and whether you have that connection or, you know.
What about space in a relationship? Have you guys ever had any kind of experience where you're in a relationship and the guy says, I need my space? What does that really mean?
I want to go out and date. So my husband told me to quit being his shadow this weekend. What does that mean?
Yeah, what's up with that?
What was that?
I understand. Can you shed some light on that for us, Jeff?
When a male says, I need my space and stop being my shadow, what do you think he's really trying to say? Jeff, are you there?
I think we may have lost him.
I think we lost Jeff. Well, let's ask Steve, the other male we have in the room. When a male says, I need my space, what's he trying to say?
Stop being clingy.
Ah. Define clingy.
Well, you're just hassling me.
It's what I do best.
No, just, I don't know, we need, not we, I guess, to be generalizing, but a lot of guys need our free time with our friends or doing our own thing, and being around your significant other all the time kind of gets old after a while.
I don't think it has to get old. Can't you do things together that are...
You can, but there's a difference between being around your significant other and then going out and being with your friends that you grew up with or that you went to college with. There's a huge difference.
Just guys, I mean, like you got...
The guy thing. What do you think, girls?
Well, I think it's a chick thing, too.
Yeah.
I certainly need my own space.
We've had girls' nights out before. One of us usually ends up in trouble, but Stacy, but so I don't know. Do you think we need time to be in a healthy relationship? Do we also need time apart? Is it good to be together all the time?
I think you need time apart. I think you do. I think the healthiest part of my relationship was when we both had free time to one another. Yeah, I think you absolutely have to have time apart, or you do get lost in the relationship.
I think once a woman has a child, the men still want to go do their man time. And we
their
as mothers...
Life, their life doesn't change, right?
Right. The man's life doesn't really change, but the mother does, because she knows that's her child. She wants to be there. I mean, she probably misses periodically going out and doing the girl thing, or she can't. But a man's life doesn't, he doesn't see that change, because it's the feeling.
He still golfs on Sunday, and I have to watch the kids. I always choose to watch the
kids. I have a question. Right. How come when a man watches the kids,
it's babysitting,
and when as the kids, well, you're
the mom?
Yeah.
You're how is to. That? Yeah, that doesn't make any sense at all. If that's their child, you know, they should be excited to get to spend any time with them.
I would think so.
You just have to remind them.
Why
you're not
say,
babysitting. That's
will
your...
you do the dishes for me? Will you cook dinner for me?
Help.
Why are they doing it for me? Why aren't they doing it because...
They
made
it needs to be done. Yeah. It needs to be done. That's why. It's not 50-50 in a relationship half the time.
They don't
but it's like one person pulling away.
They don't say, will you cook dinner for me? They say, what's for dinner?
Now see, hold on.
We are trying to get on
the dinner tonight. Cook, I must say, and I always cook, clean, do all that stuff. So.
Do you fold laundry?
I do laundry.
Do you fold it, or do you leave it in the basket?
Actually, I hang most of my laundry.
Oh, okay, you're the exception to the rule here.
No, my ex-husband.
He doesn't have the girl.
My ex-husband and I never wash my ex-husband's clothes. He did his laundry. I did mine in our daughter's laundry.
That's weird.
He cleaned.
That is weird.
He would cook dinner. I would cook dinner. We both clean up. I know y'all look at me
like
why is he with him?
Can I marry him?
Yeah, he's a great guy.
He's a stick in the mud, though.
The Chip listening.
No, he is. Sorry, Chip. I think you're a great guy. I will marry you, Chip.
We're going to record this for him. He is a good guy. But, yeah, and with somebody else, there may be that passion and intimacy. I've tried to set him up with people. I think that he's a great guy, but he has a stick in the
mud.
What
happened when you tried to ignite that passion? I mean, did you really try to, wasn't it there in the beginning?
Yeah, I think so.
What
we
happened?
Went through so many things that I don't even know that I can remember the beginning at that point. You know what I mean? Through... You know, having our daughter and my cancer, and I think that we just kind of forgot who we were in the beginning.
Yeah.
You know, my focus, when I found out I had, everybody in my family died of cancer on both sides. Held my dad's hand when he died of cancer. When I heard I had cancer, I was dying. There was no chance of surviving and I was going to die. So I think that at that point, I forgot he even existed and focused on my daughter, who was only 18 months old at the time.
Wow.
And I think he did, too. I think that he focused on her, and we just kind of completely forgot about each other.
Y'all went through a lot of really tough, trying times.
Yeah, I mean, it just, I was still expected to go to school and take care of the child and still do home stuff, and we just kind of ignored the fact that I had cancer every third week. I went for a treatment.
You didn't talk about it?
I don't think he asked me one time the whole time I went through chemo how I felt one day. In my radiation, I would go to class from 9 to 11. I'd drive to Lancaster at 11, have chemo or have radiation at noon, drive back to Athens and have class from 1 to 3. That's what I did for 20 days. I mean, it was just like it was just a bump, and we just had to go on. And
wow.
So I don't think it's a reflection of his personality. I mean, he lost a lot of family members to cancer, too. Relationships go through trying times. You've all had seriously, you know, trying times in relationships, and it's just a matter of whether you can make it or not. And I couldn't.
So what's the secret of these marriages? Is you hear, you know, 30, 40 years, do you think they just overlook each other's faults? Do you think they accept each other's faults?
They're on drugs.
I think it's the American way. No, I don't want to say that. That's something.
No, my grandpa always says, you know, you're all going to have problems, but you have to know how to work it.
Yeah.
And if you really love each other, you can work through
That's another one of those things that does not come with an instruction manual. How do you know how to do that?
Because I'm like, you guys must have never fought. Oh, Stacy, you have no idea how many times we've fought. But they've always made it.
But I don't understand where you draw the line either, because,
yeah,
like, you can always compromise and always make it work.
But they were good at that. They weren't
to you
and never go to bed mad at each other. They've always told me that. And I always do that one.
So is it a better thing to stay, like, if you're having an argument, is it better to stay and fight, but eventually work it out? Or is it better just to step away for
step
a few hours?
Step away and then come back.
No, I disagree. That's what killed my marriage. I disagree.
How so?
You got to
argue.
Back
no, argue and then walk away from it and assume that it's over. It's gone. It's done. It's over with. Just because time has passed doesn't mean it's healed it. It's still there. And in fact, that's more hurtful.
To come back to the issue, figure it out after the anger and everything.
Where do you guys find these men? I mean, like, you were happy and love at first sight. I mean, the first one was stick in the mud, but he still looks a really great guy. I mean, where are these men? Southeast Ohio. I feel like there are, like, none at this point.
I think that I'm sensing some negativity coming
from
you.
My husband's not perfect. We don't have a perfect
marriage. So we haven't... Jessica, we haven't had an update on you this week.
Yeah.
What's going on with you? I'm sensing some...
Nobody knows my whole story because I've never shared it on the radio. So
yeah.
If anyone knew my whole story, they probably would understand it. I don't know. We don't live together. I'm still married. I'm just waiting to find out if he has a baby.
Yeah.
Then we'll go from there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I'm worth a lot more than what he can give me, but yet I'm still waiting for that proof to force me to leave.
Why are you hanging on?
We've been through a lot together, I guess. Went through the death of his mother, death of a really close friend of his within, like, first year. And actually, both of those situations happened 1 year almost exact to the date from each other. And then my daughter was conceived almost exactly on the anniversary that his mother passed away. So it was like a gift from, you know, I'm not religious, but it was like a gift. And, I guess I'm willing to compromise, thinking that maybe this is what life has for me. But I can't handle if there's another life involved. I will move on. But for now, I guess I just need that proof, that document, to seal my fate.
But you seem like you want, just in the short time I've worked with you, and you seem like you want more. If this is what life has planned, your ambition is above and beyond coming, living here and knowing what there is out there. I've, you know, been away from here, lived in several different states. You have so much ambition.
Well, this isn't where I was born and raised. This isn't my life. I'm not a country girl by any means. This is not, Appalachia is not me. That's not me. I don't fit here. I never have. He fits here. And I feel like he would fit elsewhere if I could get him out of here. Like, this is like a hole that just sucks people in. And you can't get away. And I've just been
I'm well aware of that because I didn't grow up here, I guess. And maybe if I took him out of the element, it would be different. It's like a whole other planet. I don't want to be forced to the southeastern Ohio failure.
In all fairness to southeastern Ohio, I love this place, and I think you can excel here. I understand there's a lot of people who grew up here with not the same ideas, but I think they're the exception, not the rule.
I'm not being pretentious at all. I'm not trying to be a snoot or anything, but there are better things out there, and I know a lot of people from southeastern Ohio that have never traveled outside the state, and if they have, it's West Virginia, and that's 20 minutes down the road. So, I now experience life
right.
A little bit.
We do live in a small town. We do live in a small town. An opportunity is not...
I'm invited.
The opportunities here are a lot slimmer than if you were in a closer to a bigger city where there's more diversity, more cultural diversity.
Cultural acceptance.
I think it's hard. I think it's hard here when you, I'm not crazy about living here, but people do love it here, and it's not a bad place to raise your children. But there is more out there. You know, I look forward to getting, you know, my family out of here and letting her see more of the world, you know, and travel and see what else is out there. I don't think that it's a bad place. But
I think if you raise your children with open minds, they will have that.
But my family. Yeah.
A lot of people, unfortunately, didn't have parents who believed that.
Right.
And there are people out there.
I don't want to get into the cultural values of Appalachia. But there's no way to raise a kid with an open mind in a place where everyone is Caucasian and raised
right.
in...
There's no diversity here.
I'm sorry, really? There is no diversity. It's hard to raise a child in an open mind when they're not exposed.
I agree with that. I wasn't raised to be prejudiced just because there was nobody to be prejudiced of. You're right, there is no diversity. I mean, my grandmother said, those Catholics are bad, and that's the worst.
Hey,
yeah.
I'm Catholic.
I didn't say I believed her. I like Catholics.
Totally off topic.
Yeah,
but that's how I feel.
I don't know.
I think the area plays a part in the situation in love. I think in my particular relationship, the outside environment that we live in is a lot of it. I don't like going home and seeing where I live. I don't like living in the hills with a creek out back. I don't like that. I want more out of life, so. But he's fine with, you know, crawdads out in the creek. I'm not.
Yeah, the big vacation for people,
you know,
around here is Myrtle Beach. That's, you know, like when I talk to people that I know that I've dated and stuff, like I'm gonna go on vacation to like Colorado. They're like, oh, it's almost a foreign land to them. Their big vacations like Myrtle Beach and Virginia Beach. That's like the big outing.
Hey, that's my family's.
Everyone is saying.
5 years old, they go to Myrtle Beach every year. What's wrong with that?
But it's hard when you're around people that have no diversity. I was raised, both of my parents are teachers in college, and I was raised around a lot of diversity and going, you know, throughout the country and different countries and everything, and it's really hard. Be with somebody that doesn't have that same value.
Exactly. If you weren't raised the same or in the same type of environment, it is very difficult to try to come to a common ground.
I agree.
That's what I'm getting at.
We do have the college here, and that brings diversity. They close it
off for
to the
4 years.
They close it off to the community of people who live here, though. You have the college professors, and they have their own little community. But the university has shut down the community centers that were free.
Absolutely.
They've shut down all the services that were free to the community. And now you pay an arm and a leg to go to a rec center, to take your kids swimming, to go to the ice rink.
When this is your community.
And this is your community.
Yes,
and the college has completely,
they're
prejudiced to the community, as far as I'm concerned.
They're the Harvard by the Hawking. That's what they are.
Yeah.
Harvard by the Hawking. They're a little,
you know, I would love
college.
To be able to get, you know,
that's pretentious.
And see plays and that stuff, but they don't offer it. I mean, it's hard.
I'm staying out of her line of fire.
She has a lot of fire tonight.
Sit over there with you. I love everyone from southeastern Ohio. I've met a lot of great people, but I think in relationships, my husband and I conflict because we were raised in different ways, and I have a much more diverse background than he does, and he's not appreciative
of
that.
He's probably
not
as open.
He doesn't know how to handle it. Yeah, he doesn't know how to handle it. He's
scared. Maybe I shouldn't have mentioned your ambition.
Yeah.
Have we gotten any closer to the answer of what is love?
Compromise.
Compromise. Compromise. I agree.
I mean, communication, compromise.
Yes.
If you don't have both, you need a little passion. That's what I've missed. I had the compromise and the communication.
What if you just have the passion?
It's working.
That's
for
not
me.
Love.
Do you think passion can turn to love?
Yeah. You ever tried it?
You know what I always said? I always said if you're in love, you're lucky. Most people stay together because they can put up with each other's crap. Love is just a bonus to being able to put up with somebody's crap.
Oh, I like
it's
how
like
you,
a business
I like,
deal.
See, we're on the same page.
Like a
you
business
know?
Deal, that's what I'm saying. Like a business
I'm
deal
saying,
with love.
It is a business deal.
It is a business deal.
It is a business deal. That's
okay.
That is sick, but that's true.
It is
that's
true.
The advice she gave me. It is a month ago.
What's
going on in your date? Look at it as a business deal because that's totally what it is. Is this what you want? Is this not what you want? Is this long term? Is this not long term? Is this a career or just McDonald's? You know, like, you know what I mean?
True.
I mean, seriously, am I going to get minimum wage or am I looking at the big bucks? I'm just here to keep you guys laughing and rounding up and you know, my bed.
Okay.
I think we are almost down to the last few minutes of Vocal Profiling Live. If you have any questions or comments, you can email me at heather@vocalprofiling.com, or you can email Jessica, although don't do that tonight. Jessica.
I love conversation. Email me.
At vocalprofiling.com. If you're interested in any of our classes, give us a call at 740-698-9119. We look forward to next week's show. Hopefully, Sherry will be back with you, and the ladies will join us again. Everybody have a good night.
Bye.
Good night.
Bye.